Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Night in Our Trees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book. The Fall of Berlin, 1945 by Antony Bavour is a major narrative history of the final violent months of the Second World War in Europe, when the Red Army pushed into the heart of the Third Reich and Berlin became the last great battlefield. Drawing on a wide range of archival sources and first-hand testimonies that became more accessible after the Cold War, Bavour reconstructs the military operations, political calculations, and human experiences that shaped the end of Nazi rule. The book traces the Soviet advance from the Vistula-Oder offensive through the encirclement and assault on Berlin, while also examining German decision-making, civilian desperation, and the collapse of state structures. Bavour is known for blending operational detail with close attention to individual stories, which makes the broader strategy understandable without losing sight of the suffering on all sides. The result is a grim, immersive account of victory and catastrophe intertwined, showing how the war ended not with clarity or mercy, but with chaos, revenge, and enormous human cost. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from the Vistula to the Oder, the road to the Reich. A central theme is how the war in the East accelerated into a decisive Soviet surge that made Berlin's fall almost inevitable. The book follows the Red Army's momentum as it breaks through German lines, exploits operational depth, and turns battlefield success into a strategic collapse of the German Eastern Front. Bavour emphasizes the scale of manpower and material involved, the brutal tempo of offensives, and the logistical strain that accompanied rapid advances. He also highlights how German commanders and the Nazi leadership responded with a mixture of tactical skill, improvisation, and delusion, often sacrificing formations in futile counterattacks or holding orders that ignored reality. This part of the story clarifies why Soviet forces reached the Oder so quickly and why the Germans could not rebuild a coherent defense, despite pockets of resistance. The narrative also shows how fear and hatred accumulated through years of ideological war, shaping behavior as the front moved into German territory. The push west becomes more than a map exercise, it is the narrowing of options for soldiers and civilians alike, as retreat routes vanish and the state's capacity to protect or even govern disintegrates. Secondly, Hitler's last gamble: leadership, fantasy, and collapse. Bavour explores the political and command environment inside the crumbling Third Reich, where the gap between rhetoric and reality became lethal. The book depicts a leadership culture dominated by loyalty tests, rival power centers, and propaganda promises that encouraged continued resistance long after strategic defeat was certain. As Soviet forces close in, decisions are portrayed as increasingly disconnected from the operational situation, with imagined rescue armies, miraculous weapons, and faith in internal collapse among enemies substituting for workable plans. The consequences fall on frontline units, ordered to hold untenable positions, and on civilians conscripted into last-ditch formations. At the same time, Bavour shows that German society did not respond as a single bloc. Some continued to believe, some feared punishment from the regime more than the enemy, and some sought any path to surrender. The breakdown of normal administration is also crucial, as policing, evacuation, and basic services fail. The result is an anatomy of collapse where the state still issues commands but cannot deliver safety, food, or coherent defense. By connecting high-level dysfunction to street-level suffering, the book explains how Berlin becomes both a military objective and a symbol of a regime imploding from the top down. Thirdly, the Battle for Berlin, Urban Warfare, and the Price of Victory. The storming of Berlin is presented as a complex urban campaign shaped by Soviet operational rivalry, German desperation, and the physical realities of fighting in a shattered city. Bavour describes how armies that excelled in maneuver warfare had to adapt to blocks, rubble, canals, and fortified buildings, where short-range engagements and attrition dominated. The book outlines how Soviet forces approached the capital, forced crossings, and then fought through neighborhoods toward key political and symbolic sites. German defenders, including regular troops and ad hoc units, used the city's terrain to slow the advance, while shortages of ammunition, fuel, and medical care made prolonged resistance increasingly futile. Bavour also emphasizes the human dimension of urban combat: disorientation, fear, exhaustion, and the moral injury of fighting among civilians. The tactical narrative is tied to strategic urgency, including the desire to secure Berlin before Western allies could reach it, and the political meaning of the Reich's capital. This section makes clear that the endgame was not a clean finale, but a grinding conclusion where each street gained could cost heavily, and where the victors themselves paid a steep price for speed, prestige, and certainty of outcome. Fourthly, civilians in the maelstrom: flight, survival, and atrocity. One of the most challenging topics the book confronts is the experience of civilians as state protection collapses and armies move through towns and cities. Bavour depicts mass flight, overcrowded roads, and improvised shelters, showing how ordinary people face hunger, cold, and uncertainty alongside bombardment and close combat. the narrative also addresses widespread violence, including acts committed during the occupation and conquest, and the way trauma and fear shape decisions to flee, hide, or surrender. Beevor situates these events within the broader context of a war marked by ideological hatred and prior atrocities without reducing individual suffering to simple justification or moral equivalence. He also considers how rumors, propaganda, and expectations about enemy behavior influence panic and the breakdown of social order. The book's focus on civilians broadens the story beyond generals and armies, revealing how the fall of Berlin was simultaneously a military campaign and a humanitarian catastrophe. By following families, refugees, and the vulnerable, Beevor illustrates how the war's end did not automatically bring relief, but often introduced new dangers in the power vacuum. This perspective encourages readers to see victory and defeat as lived realities, not only political outcomes. Lastly, allies, rivals, and the post-war shadow politics. After the shooting, Avertur to book places the fall of Berlin within the larger Allied framework, where partnership against Nazi Germany coexisted with competing strategic interests. Beevor examines how Soviet leaders balanced military objectives with political aims, including control of territory that would shape the post-war order. He also shows how Western Allied advances, negotiations, and agreed lines influenced operational choices, even when soldiers on the ground sensed that the next conflict might be diplomatic rather than military. This topic connects battlefield decisions to emerging realities such as occupation zones, the management of defeated Germany, and the beginnings of the Cold War divide. The narrative suggests that Berlin's capture was not only about ending the war, but also about defining who would dominate Europe afterward, making speed and symbolism central. Beevor also addresses the immediate aftermath: surrender, prisoners of war, retribution, and the first attempts to restore governance amid ruins. The end of combat does not conclude the story cleanly. It opens questions about justice, displacement, and the political uses of memory. By linking the last battles to the structure of post-war Europe, the book helps readers understand why 1945 was both an ending and a starting point, with consequences that lasted for decades. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a clear, gripping account of how the European war ended at ground level and at the level of high command. Military history enthusiasts will value the operational narrative of the Soviet drive to Berlin and the brutal realities of urban combat. General readers, students, and anyone interested in modern Europe will also benefit from its emphasis on civilians, the collapse of institutions, and the moral complications that accompany victory. The book can deepen a reader's life by sharpening historical empathy and critical thinking. It shows how propaganda distorts judgment, how fear spreads through societies under pressure, and how large political decisions translate into intimate human consequences. Compared to many works that focus narrowly on generals or weapons, this one stands out for integrating strategy, ideology, and lived experience into a single coherent storyline. It also benefits from the use of sources and testimonies that broaden perspective beyond a single national narrative, helping readers grasp why memories of 1945 remain contested. For buyers comparing similar titles, Beevor offers a rare blend of accessibility and seriousness, making the book both readable and substantial, and a strong foundation for further study of World War II and its aftermath. If you would like to support Anthony Beevor, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.